Hi, my name is Jesse Malley, and I'm the state director at Americans for Prosperity Colorado. We are a grassroots organization dedicated to helping people break down barriers and reach their full potential. And I'm joined today by Representative Matt Soper from House District 54 out on the Western Slope, and Senator Sonnenberg from Colorado's 1st Senate District in northeastern part of the state. And today we're going to talk about the legislative session and how it's going to impact you. But before we get started, let's meet our panelists right now. Representative Soper, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you, Jesse. It's great to be here today. I represent House District 54, which is all of Mesa County except the city of Grand Junction and then Western Delta County. I come from a multi-generational farm and ranch family that settled in Delta in 1887. I went a slightly different direction, going to a law school in both the U.S. and the U.K., and then found myself here in the legislature. So it's been a real honor to represent the Western Slope.
Great. Senator Sonnenberg.
Wow. Hello, Jesse. It's good to see you again. I'm State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. I represent, actually, I'm a farmer and rancher from the Eastern Plains, but I represent 11 counties, 21,000 square miles, the northern two-thirds of all the Eastern Plains. My Senate district is larger than nine states, but a very rural district.
Great. Well, today marks the opening of the legislative session, and I've heard that the focus is to make Colorado more affordable, which I find a little interesting because that's exactly what the voters did in 2020 when they passed the tax cut in Prop 117, which said if you're going to raise fees by an excessive amount, it must go to a vote of the people. But as we all know, the legislature ignored that, passed a gas tax or a fee, as they call it. Among other things. So, Representative, how did the legislature get around Prop 117? I remember you had some pretty strong words about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesse. So what the legislature did last year is they took this bill, which was Senate Bill 260, and they threw in a bunch of different fees into this bill. And they created multiple enterprises to attach to, you know, everything from a gas fee to an EV fee to parking fees, and they circumnavigated what the voters had voted on by just creating many different enterprises. So collectively, they actually exceeded the threshold amount from 117, even though each individual one was less than that. So they just found a lawyer's workaround.
Yeah, Senator Sonnenberg, Colorado's a commuter state, and this bill seems to really unfairly target rural Colorado. What kind of impact do you think this is going to have?
Well, obviously, Jesse, a huge impact to rural Colorado. We spend a lot of time on the road. I personally live 15 miles from the closest city, and there are people on the Eastern Plains that live 70 miles from the nearest hospital. We have multiple vehicles to run our operation, our farm and ranch. This is a huge impact to a number of people, especially on the Eastern Plains. You talk about the fees. Matt mentioned, or Representative Soper mentioned, a number of those fees. It was fascinating to me that they even included a parks and wildlife fee on your car registration. And I don't know how you get by with calling that a fee when you tax a car to fund parks and wildlife, but that's what we're seeing. And that is a huge, huge impact on rural Colorado, which already, quite frankly, is depressed when it comes to income compared to our I-25 corridor.
And Jesse, if I could just jump in with just a little bit more with what the Democrats did last year. Talking about rural Colorado, you have both of us here on this call. We represent the Eastern Plains, the Western Slope, very rural districts. It's no surprise that we're really concerned about fees. One bill that I remember the Democrats pushed last year attached a fee on all of our insurance policies, so our property insurance for our homes. But we were able to get an amendment to at least pull off multiple peril crop insurance in the House because we were able to show that this fee would have hit farmers and ranchers four times harder than someone living in suburban Colorado. But I believe that was the only victory we had when it concerned fees. Everything else they did manage to get through, whether it was, you know, the unemployment insurance trust fund or creating a new enterprise for reinsurance, or you know, just going on and on, you know, from parks and wildlife that's attached to renewing your vehicle fee or license.
Yeah, when I always tell people, when the legislature wants money, they can get really creative. I just wish they'd use that same energy and focus to, you know, reduce spending, cut waste, but maybe that's a topic for another day. But Representative, you've been a taxpayer advocate for years. What can we do about this? What's the next step?
Well, the next step would be changing the law. So if you don't like the outcome, change the law is what I like to say. The outcome that we have currently in Colorado has created all of these enterprises and all of these fees that really are taxes. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. And that if we're going to continue to circumnavigate around Prop 117, and if we're going to continue to go around the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, then at least we ought to have a supermajority of the House and Senate weigh in and vote yes for that fee. So together, we're going to be introducing a bill that will require a two-thirds vote in the House and a two-thirds vote in the Senate to create and or raise fees. And this is really to cut back and say, if you're going to do something that's going to hit all of our pocketbooks, then it better also have minority support, or at least the support of a supermajority of the members.
Yeah, and that's something that actually a lot of states have, so it's not really that unheard of. Senator, why don't you tell us about, because I know you have a similar bill in the Senate as well.
Thanks, Jesse. And yes, I'm proud to sponsor the bill that Rep. Soper was talking about in the Senate. He is helping me with my bill as well in the House. But what my bill does is says, you know what, let's just let the voters decide. Let's put it on the ballot so that if you to ask them, would they like the legislature to have a supermajority if they're going to raise fees like this? Representative Soper was so eloquent in explaining all of those different fees and the one little victory we had. But understand that crop insurance fee that he took off is nowhere comparable to the insurance fee that I have to pay on my policy that actually deals with my entire farm operation and thousands of acres and equipment. So it is challenging. And what my bill does is actually is a concurrent resolution that will send this to the vote of the people and say, look, tell us, do you think it's a good idea to have a supermajority in the legislature to raise your fees? Should you have bipartisan support to get there? And if so, sell it to the legislature, let them go. But the people need to make that determination and vote on it. And that's what Rep. Soper and I are going to do from the Senate side.
Well, that's exciting. I think the people of Colorado would like to be brought in that conversation. And like I said, this is a way in numerous other states that it takes a supermajority in order to pass such things. So it wouldn't be uncommon for Colorado to join that. And speaking of going to the people, Senator Sonnenberg, I've been reading that several billion dollars are supposed to be sent back to the voters or to the taxpayers of Colorado for in regards to Tabor refunds. Is the legislature going to give those back, or do you think they're going to, I don't know, try to hang on to it?
Well, Jesse, you made the comment earlier that if the state wants money, they find ways to keep it. They have done it for years. We can go back 5, 6, 7 years, how they have restructured things, what they have done, how they manipulated things. Do I anticipate getting a check? The answer is no. I think they will find ways to circumvent Tabor as they have in the past and keep the state's money. Again, the people of Colorado spoke in time. The ballot initiative that says we want to vote on this stuff. And so what do? They break it down into smaller amounts to fit within those requirements so they can keep your money. And I emphasize, it's your money. It's the taxpayers' money. It's the government's money. I still have to live within my budget on the farm and ranch. I don't understand why we get government to understand the same thing and my colleagues on the other side of the aisle.
Sure. Representative Soper, I wonder if you mentioned the legislature likes to create these enterprises. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact would that have on the Tabor refunds? Is there any sort of correlation there?
There is. Certainly, as you know, Tabor has kept spending. I mean, I'd like to say reasonable. That's kind of a stretch for me. I certainly would love to see Tabor have done more. But as these enterprises come about, that is the going around of the taxpayers' bill of rights. That's the Democrats' workaround to be able to raise the revenue, to really be able to make Tabor not really apply to what the voters intended. And that's what really worries me, and it's really troublesome to see just all of these fees attached to things. I mean, taxes are straightforward. I know how much I'm going to be paying in taxes. I know how much I'll be paying in sales tax when I buy a good. I know how much I'll be paying in income taxes. But when it comes to the fees, I can't budget for all the new fees that are created all the time. I go down and renew my car. All of a sudden, I'm hit with a whole slew of fees that I had no idea even existed last year, mainly because they didn't. And now what we heard today on the opening day is that the Democrats would like to suspend some of these fees taking effect until after the election, which to me just sounds like.
It's really kind of them. So
basically they'll repeal everything they've done the last 3 years. If I understood their press conference earlier today or earlier in the week, that we need lower fees, lower taxes. They're going to do everything that Representative Stoper and I've been talking about for 6 months. And even before that, on how they were going to damage the economy. And so it's fascinating now that they want to delay until after an election. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, maybe December is a better time. I don't know. But let's end on a positive note here. What are you hopeful for in 2022? Let's start with you, Representative.
Well, I'm certainly hopeful that we get one of our bills or our concurrent resolution passed, because to me, this would bring just a new ray of light for the people of Colorado to know that their pocketbooks, if they're going to be impacted by fees, which are really taxes, that at least a supermajority of the legislature had to weigh in. And that's what I would be hopeful for. I'd be hopeful for a robust conversation. And I also would be hopeful for the fact that many on the other side might actually see what we're trying to do and come over and join us, because this is a really good policy.
I agree. Senator.
Like Rep. Soper, I'm cautiously optimistic that they see what they have done and that we can pass these. It's probably unlikely, but here's what I'll tell you. I think they are seeing the damage they've done. You can tell by their press conference earlier in the week that they realize they have caused damage to the people of Colorado. They have hurt the people of Colorado, and now they're saying that we need to not necessarily reduce fees, but let's wait to pay those fees so you don't see them until after an election, or you don't see them hit the pocketbook. The vast majority of people won't know that pass those fees until after the election. They know they've done damage, but they changed the priorities in such a way that government is the answer and the end justifies the means and how they get there. So I'm cautiously optimistic that they will be a little moderated this year. We'll see if it really is the case.
Yeah. Well, it's day one, only 119 left, so we shall see. But hey, I just want to thank you both for your time. Thank you more importantly for your leadership and the work you're doing down there. I know it's not an easy job. I know it can feel like a thankless job, but it's important for the people to know that we have leaders like you down there who are fighting for taxpayers and standing up. So thank you on behalf of our organization and all of our activists. And if you're concerned about what the legislature is going to do with your Tabor tax refund and their efforts to keep it, I want you to go out and make your voice heard. It's easy. Visit refundripoff.com. That's refundripoff.com. Email your elected officials. Tell them you want your Tabor tax refund. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.